Welcome to the April 2014 story from Comets and Criminals. This month's story is Best in Show by Ian Creasy and read by Samuel May. Best in Show was previously published in Oceans of the Mind, issue 13, in the fall of 2004. Best in Show by Ian Creasy. Roll up, roll up! Get your monster tonic here! Sharpens fangs, slimes tentacles, grows extra eyes on extra heads. Not got a monster yet? Buy a starter kit today. Guaranteed safe, just wear Monster Bane. Worried about the smell? Odor Exploder keeps habitats fresh. And it's never been cheaper to feed your monsters with live mice. I broke off because no one could hear me in the din. Hoots and screeches echoed down the hall from the best chimera final in the mezzanine. And disquieting chomping noises came from the hungriest flesh-eating worm heats. Behind me I heard screams as ghouls battled zombies for scariest undead. But I didn't mind the noise, or even the stench. The nose-curdling marsh gas drifting from the swamp beast final was the scent of success. Already I'd given out 3 stacks of catalogues with 10% first-time discount stickers. I'd invested a lot of money in sponsoring the show, but if all went well, my costs would hatch into sweet profits. Calverly scurried to my booth, dragging a trolley with squeaky wheels.
"You have nutrients?" he asked.
"Of course. Any special kind?" He frowned. From the trolley a muffled voice said, "Protein gel with omega-3 fatty acids." I delved into my cases for a jar of green liquid. Calverly removed the blanket draping the trolley, revealing a vat full of translucent mucus. Through the thick fluid I glimpsed a pink, pulsating shape. "You're entering the most intelligent disembodied brain category as well?" I said.
"Ah, yes," said Calverly, pouring nutrient into the vat. "You might as well give me the prize right now."
I saw that he was freshly shaved and scrubbed, grey hair combed neatly over his bald patch, as if he had spruced himself up to receive the Best in Show award. I laughed. "You have plenty of competition, but good luck." He waved my good wishes away.
"Luck? It's planning, Drake. Planning all the way."
The brain glugged and burbled as nutrients swirled around it. "Delectable," it said, through a speaker attached to the vat. "How about some ethanol?" Calverly shook his head.
"You haven't even won Best of Breed yet."
A black-cloaked wrangler beckoned to him across the hall.
"Coming,"
he called, wheeling the trolley away. I smiled when he left without collecting his change. But that made yet another category Calverly had entered. Earlier he had lost in the stickiest slime beast final. I hadn't yet heard the results from the giant insect heats. He had even competed for best monster grown from a $99 kit, the event I'd introduced to get kids involved. How had he managed to produce so many entries? He had no pedigree in monster breeding. Only a few months ago he had been refining his ChronoPlus device. I could understand him changing direction after what had happened at Demonstration Day, but I couldn't figure out how he'd managed to come so far so quickly. Other customers dropped by. I made a few more sales and took orders for spawn. Then I saw Vanzetti carefully skirting slime trails and malodorous droppings. He looked as if he regretted dressing up in waistcoat, tie, and shiny black shoes, but the president of the Advanced Studies Association needs a dignified image. He gave me an impatient wave, and I realized I was due outside to help judge best monster captured in the wild. I sighed as I locked up my booth, knowing I'd miss potential sales. Yet I relished the chance to exercise some influence. Normally a salesman is at the mercy of his customers, but it was remarkable how many outstanding bills had been settled lately when competitors realized just who would be judging their pride and joy. As Vanzetti and I left the hotel, we passed a small group of demonstrators waving "Stop Cruelty to Monsters" placards. One shouted, "Put the swamp beasts back in the swamp!" while another cried, "End experiments on disembodied brains!" "Hey, we're breeding brains so someday you can have one," I said. We walked across the lawn, past the Rock and Samarg flying trials, then entered an enormous tent hired from a circus. I sat at the judge's podium and glanced at the program. The first competitor was Calverly, again.
"The Man Ape of Halloween Island," announced Vanzetti.
As Calverly was attending the disembodied brain heats, The wranglers brought on his entry. The hairy bipedal creature stood about 10 feet tall, not especially impressive in the huge tent. A ripple of applause startled the beast. The man-ape roared defiance, then scooped up turf and started flinging it in all directions. We judges ducked behind the podium, clutching our score sheets and docking points for each hit. The wranglers wore all-encompassing black cloaks to ward off mud, blood, and slime, with masks that protected against acid and venom. One of them said, "Stop that!" in the commanding tones of someone who had graduated from dog handler to monster wrangler. To my surprise, the man-ape stopped throwing dirt. The wranglers led it around the ring, demonstrating its swift loping gait. They had to use an electroprod, one of my top-selling items, to halt the creature in front of the podium. "Open wide," the wrangler said, allowing us to inspect formidable teeth. We scrawled our totals as the man-ape trotted away. Next up was Kay, the xenobiologist. To promote his new book, Creatures of the Cosmic Strings, he exhibited a specimen from the furthest depths of space. Vanzetti told me its capture was an amazing technical feat, but I found the creature disappointing. I don't vote for anything only visible by the blue Cherenkov glow of its decaying waste product.
"And now, Archetilthus," said Vanzetti.
A hovercart entered, carrying a pressurized aquarium that filled much of the ring. Its owner, Kitamariki, stood on the aquarium like a kid showing off from the top of a bus shelter. A giant orange-brown squid lolled in the water. Kitamariki shone a pointer to highlight its beak-like mouth.
"Strong enough to cut through steel cable," he said, "and its eyes are the biggest in the animal kingdom. On Earth, of course," he added with a deferential nod to Kay.
A panel slid aside, releasing a small sperm whale. The squid perked up, unfurling to its full 60-foot length. Tentacles, laden with huge suckers, lashed toward the trapped whale. Blood clouded the water. The crowd cheered as Archetilthus tore apart its prey. Even though I was a judge, I didn't hold back from joining in the applause. But this category still had one more beast to come. Rankin strode into the ring, wearing a red feathered tunic that would no doubt become fashionable in a few centuries. As he passed the podium, we exchanged friendly nods. He was a good customer of mine, and I'd saved him from an experimental mishap last demonstration day.
Thud! Thud!
The ground shook as his creature approached. It had stout, muscled legs, absurdly small arms, and its green and brown torso tapered into a thick tail held high in the air. Roaring, it showed jagged teeth and gave us a blast of carrion breath.
"Tarbosaurus!" Vanzetti announced.
"That's my best guess," said Rankin with a smug grin. "But when you go back there, it's funny how they don't look quite like the fossils or the artist's impressions."
Calverly arrived, breathless after hurrying from the disembodied brain final.
"A dinosaur? How cliched!" he sneered, his eyes full of resentment.
Obviously, he still hadn't forgiven Rankin for upstaging him last demonstration day, when Calverly had been showing off his Chronoplus, only for Rankin to appear in a time machine.
"Was that the best you could find in billions of years?"
Tarbosaurus leaned into the crowd, opening its mouth wide as if to bite the head off a podgy spectator. Then it reared back. The spectator sensibly wore monster bane. The dinosaur fluttered its pathetic arms, dancing in frustration as it realized none of the tasty-looking morsels in the crowd were edible. Its thick tail smacked into the side of the tent, making a noisy rip in the canvas. I winced. I'd hired the big top from a circus agency, and the damage would come out of my deposit. A team of wranglers electroprodded the dinosaur out of the ravaged tent. I marked it equal top with Archetilthus, then handed my score sheet to Vanzetti. He sucked his pen and dithered over the totals as the crowd shouted for their favorites. Someone called,
"Fight! Fight!"
Silly, really. Some of the breeds are won by combat, but how can a squid battle a space beast? Still, Rankin and Calvary looked like they'd be happy to duke it out on behalf of their monsters. I heard Rankin say,
"Just because I invented time travel..."
"You probably cheated," said Calvary. "I bet you went back in time and gave yourself the plans. Anyway, there's other..."
He stopped as Vanzetti stood up. The president scrutinized his papers one last time.
"Ladies, gentlemen, and creatures of the night, we have a winner. The best monster captured in the wild is..."
An orchestra frog inflated its throat sac and pounded a drum roll.
"Tarbosaurus!"
The crowd applauded as wranglers brought out the winner for a lap of honour. They threw fish and kittens for the dinosaur to snap up.
"That should increase my stud fees," said Rankin, "and they'll double when I win best in show."
He smiled and jiggled his tunic feathers.
"I just won most intelligent disembodied brain, so I'm still in it," Calverley retorted. "And I'm not surprised you didn't enter that category. You couldn't have won it with a brain in your head, never mind growing one in a vat."
Kitamariki stormed up to the podium, scowling under his Yank My Tentacles hat.
"You've ruined the show," he told me. "In the old days we used to sound creatures in the woods and score them on how many peasants they killed. Now I'm reduced to exhibiting squids behind glass."
Fleeing this harangue, I walked back to the Hotel Vanzetti, who looked a little down. I thought I knew what the problem was. Vanzetti didn't have a penny to his name, and it couldn't be much fun for him watching all the other scientists show off their expensively reared monsters. Sure, it qualified him for being a judge, but who wouldn't rather have a swarm of mutants cackling in the basement? "Have a chat with Calverley," I said. "Maybe he can tell you the secret of whipping up hordes of monsters. Frankly, I'm worried. What's he going to do with them all? He might be plotting something fiendish. You're the president of the association. Can't you inspect his labs or something?" He laughed.
"I wouldn't stay president if I tried to pry into the secrets. Anyway, you sell all the kit. You're the one who knows what everyone's up to."
"But that's just it. In the last few months he hardly brought anything except superconductors. No cages, no food, no slime wipes. And now he brings all these monsters to the show. Something odd's going on."
"You're just annoyed he hasn't been buying from you, and you want to know where he's getting his supplies. Scared of competition?"
Before I could protest the slur, Vanzetti grabbed his handkerchief and blew his nose with a sound like the swamp beast's mating calls.
"Dinosaurs bring on my allergies," he apologized.
"I can send you a placebo for that," I said as we reached my booth. A gratifying cue awaited me, and I spent the next hour selling electroprods, scale polish, breeding handbooks, and so forth. After Tarbosaurus's win, people wanted dinosaur eggs. I reminded myself to ask Rankin if he could collect some next time he popped back to the Cretaceous. When the rush died down, I started looking at best-of-breed videos from the day's other events. To choose best in show, I had to check out all the candidates. While I scanned the ghastliest mutant entries, bath bag in hand, Vanzetti interrupted.
"Drake, please come with me."
He hurried me downstairs to the warren of corridors underneath the hotel. Wranglers passed by, shepherding the last few monsters back to their pens after the breed finals. The smell of ammonia and monster dung made me fan my face, trying to scoop fresh air from somewhere. We turned the corner to the medical station, mostly used for trimming claws, polishing fangs, and the like. But no monsters greeted us now. On the slab lay Calverley, what was left of him. Ribs jutted from a crushed torso, and his right arm had been wrenched off. Blood still oozed from the corpse. His face, I retched into the bag that I still held in my hand. Vanzetti looked at me with no sympathy.
"I need you to tell me whether he was wearing monster bane."
My skin turned to ice as I realized the implications. Kitamariki stood by the reviver fire, second-hand blood staining his white shirt. Kneeling wranglers in black cloaks wiped up gore. I felt that everyone was staring at me, even the hooded wranglers whose faces I couldn't see.
"Get on with it!" shouted Vanzetti.
My fingers shook as I calibrated the scrutator. Everyone attending the show received a dose of monster bane. Surely Calverley hadn't been stupid enough to forget. He hadn't. A green light flashed, and the scrutator beeped in delight at finding its quarry.
"So your monster bane isn't all it's cracked up to be," said Kitamariki. "We have to cancel the show," Vanzetti said, in the tone he reserved for presidential announcements.
"No," I cried, thinking of all my investment and hard work wasted.
"It isn't safe," said Vanzetti. "What if another monster attacks? What if someone else dies?"
"Well," I floundered, I couldn't believe that my tried and tested monster bane was really unsafe. "Maybe there's an explanation for this. What happened anyway? Did anyone see it?" Kitamariki said, "I was consoling my lion snake after losing Best Chimera. I heard screaming," he shouted, "and I ran to Calverley's section. I saw the man-ape ripping him apart, so I charged in with my electroprod. When the man-ape fell back to its pen, I hit the emergency stasis. The Wranglers turned up, and we carried Calverly here, but we couldn't save him. He pointed to the reviver fire dial, swinging uselessly between dead, undead, and alive. This thing is as useless as your monster bane. Vanzetti is right. We have to send everyone home. What, just because you're out of the running for best in show? My voice grew louder as I grew angrier. I'm sick of this. Every time something goes wrong, you all blame me. Remember Demonstration Day? When Rankin went missing, everyone blamed me for selling him defective equipment. But he turned up safe in the end. Actually, it was only Calverly who blamed you, said Vanzetti quietly. And I don't think he has much chance of turning up safe now. None of us looked at the corpse on the slab, but Calverly's face was seared into my memory. Before we all start panicking, let's think about it for a minute, I said. The best of breed heats are over. All the monsters are back in the pens, and the stasis field's on. We'll be safe for tonight. I drummed my fingers on the scrutator as I considered tomorrow's schedule. The monster auctions, the duels and races and mating displays. I agree. If the monster bane really is defective, there's no way we can have the rest of the show tomorrow. But can you just give me a chance to investigate this? Maybe there's still something we don't know. We turned to Vanzetti, who, as president of the Advanced Studies Association, had the ultimate authority. He sighed. Okay, but get on with it. Unless you can guarantee this won't happen again, we'll have to play safe and cancel the show. Thanks, I said. I'll start checking it out straight away. But we'll have to keep this quiet for now. If it gets out, there'll be mass panic. I looked at the others and waited until they all nodded, even the Wranglers whose nods I could only see as ripples underneath black fabric. At least their cloaks didn't show up blood. The Wranglers put Calverly's corpse in a freezer, which I locked. I hope you have a change of clothes, I said to the blood-spattered Kitamariki. He scowled. If this turns out to be your fault, I'm sending you the dry cleaning bill. If it all turned out to be my fault, Kitamariki's cleaning bill would be the very least of my worries.